Well, a God morning to you. Welcome back to the God School. For 30 years, my pastor, Dr. Gene Scott, taught 7 messages every year. Eventually, having had a heart attack during his ministry, and the result of that heart attack was to carry with him a bottle of nitro pills. And eventually, he called these 7 messages nitro pills. Because if you're a heart patient, when you're having heart problems, the nitro pill put under the tongue would immediately go to work and help to resolve that problem. Today we're going to go to one of those nitro pills. I want you all to open your Bibles to the book of Jeremiah, to the 18th chapter. The text is rather short, and hopefully so is the message. The chapter opens and it says, "The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, Arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words. Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought," King James says, "wrought a work on the wheel. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again, another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, O house of Israel, can I not do with thee as this potter? Saith the Lord, behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in my hand, O house of Israel." These were a people that the last few messages were part of that which God called my people. And so today, this message, though identified in Scripture as House of Israel, I want it understood, I would have you understand, it could just as easily be said, oh my people. So God brought Jeremiah to the potter's house. God brings a lot of his toughest nuts, if you will, heroes of faith, to the potter's house and makes references in their stories to vessels of clay. Job, David, Zechariah, Isaiah, the Apostle Paul. God repeats himself, we really should give some attention. Now, so Isaiah comes to the potter's house. And what does he see at the potter's house? He sees the potter. He sees the clay. He sees the wheel. Now, I'm going to pull from Dr. Scott in order to edify the meaning of the potter's house. He divided it into four words. He divided it into principle and purpose, into process, and into person. What's the principle? The principle is God's the boss, and of that, he's not going to change. He's God. He has the right to do whatever he wants to do. You know, the truest definition of God is power. Oh, yeah, I know. The Bible says God is love, but love is not God. What makes God God is power. If the devil had more power than God, then he'd be God. And we'd be in big trouble. But thank God. He has the power over all. And he's the boss. We are thankful he is a loving God and a merciful God and a long-suffering God and a God of grace. But what makes God God is power, as in the potter's hand, the potter has power over the clay. It says in the third verse, "Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he..." And in this case, he is referring to God. King James uses an indefinite article. God wrought a work. No, God wrought his work, as evidenced by the fourth verse, wherein it says, "The vessel he made of clay was marred in the hands of the potter, so he made it again, another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it." Look, from the very beginning of this book, which we call the Bible, which is a revelation of God, wherein God is revealing himself to us from the very beginning. Our progenitors, Adam and Eve, we know the story. God gave them everything. But he put a tree in the midst of that Garden of Eden, and he said, everything else is yours. Don't touch this. That's just more evidence of God telling his people he's the boss. And that day, wherein they, Adam and Eve, trusted God, trusted the devil, who said, surely you won't die. From that day till now, we are, in a sense, in that this sense, we are marred vessels. Marred according to God's purpose, for God said, let us, side note, that's plural, by the way, let us make man in our image. But the vessel was marred in the hands of the potter. You know, that great misunderstanding of most church people who, or church leaders, and, you know, many of the congregation, wherein it said, you know, you gotta put away sin behind you. If you sin, you're a sinner, and God doesn't like you. Folks, the simple truth is, we're not sinners because we sin. We sin because we are sinners, marred vessels. God has a purpose. It was to make us in his image. Let us make man in our image, the scripture says. So he made it again, another vessel, as seemed good to the potter. God is doing another work, a new work, which seems good to him. And what's the process of this new work that God is doing? It's the wheel. Let's go back to purpose. For a second. Just a few minutes ago, I said, you know, the sin of Adam and Eve was that they trusted the devil and not God, because God said, for in the day ye eat thereof, ye shall die. And the devil said, surely you won't die. And that image, whatever you want to call it, I happen to believe it's a real story. They took the fruit and ate thereof. They trusted the devil and not God. And God, ever since, has been looking for those who will trust Him. He's looking to make us faithers, not believers, faithers. One who will grab hold of God's word with the understanding His word made it all. Therefore, it's more substantial than all that we see. And in this process, the wheel, circumstance of life, God puts us in this circumstance, and in this book of promises, wherein there are over 8,000 promises of God, God wants us to grab hold of that promise and act on it, whatever the promise is that fits our circumstance. And therefore, oft times, He puts us in circumstance where we must or we should trust God. Wherein we can say, Your will be done. You know, we have in that New Testament probably as oft-quoted a verse as any in the whole Bible, Romans 8:28, which says, And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. Folks, that's not what it says, and it's not true. All things are not working together for good. The literal translation is that God enters into all things to work His good to them that are loving God, to them that are called according to His purpose. God, with that wheel, you know, we may find ourselves on that wheel, and it's, you know, we're sitting back and just enjoying the time, thanking God how wonderful things are. And then all of a sudden, that potter, he sticks his finger right in the middle of the object. And we go, wow, ouch! And we say, what are you doing? Isaiah says, shall the clay say to the potter, what makest thou? Folks, God's the boss. And as we are on this Christian journey, as we are in this process of being made again another vessel, God puts us in circumstances that we may not know why or where it comes from. And I'm searching for the words here, folks. We don't need to know the cause. Well, we need to know the cause of the circumstance, and the cause of the circumstance is God wants faithers. If we encounter a circumstance that is contrary to God's purposes, it's God who puts us there. And to those he's called for himself, he will enable their faith, their gift of faith, to respond to any circumstance. God's looking for faith, folks. The Hebrews letter tells us that without faith, it's impossible to please God. What's the fourth word? The fourth word, excuse me, is the person. This, another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it. If we go on in that 8th chapter of the book of Romans, we would read in the 29th verse, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. The etymology of the word Christian tells us little Christs. The church has constantly been hassling God's people that they might imitate Christ. God is not looking for imitation. God is looking for spiritual fruition. Several times in the New Testament, that phrase, the faith of Christ, and you won't find it in most of your modern translations. They say faith in Christ or belief in Christ. It's the faith of Christ. Jesus Christ was a faither. He went to the cross gladly, bearing our sins, because God had promised that if he did this, that God would raise him up and give him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, things in heaven, things on earth, things under the earth will bow. And Jesus, by faith, in faith, in total confidence in the promise of God, went and did this, and he died. And folks, don't let anybody ever tell you Christ didn't die but resuscitated. He was dead as a doornail. And the New Testament tells us that the same Spirit that is God's Spirit that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken our mortal bodies. We have that promise. God is looking for faith. The work he's doing is conforming us to the image of his son, Fathers. C.S. Lewis writes in his book, The Great Divorce, there's only two kinds of people. Those who say to God, "Thy will be done." Or those to whom God says to them, "Thy will be done." It's no mistake, folks, that the last reference to the potter in the Gospels is found in the 27th chapter of Matthew, where is it? The story goes that, you know, Judas, who betrayed Christ for 30 pieces of silver, had a fit of conscience and brought the money back to the priest. They didn't want it. He threw it on the ground. They picked the silver up, and it says in the 6th verse of the 27th chapter, it says, "And the chief priest took the silver pieces and said, 'It's not lawful for them to be put in the treasury because it is the price of blood.' So they took counsel and bought with them the potter's field." What was the potter's field? That's where all the marred vessels, the broken vessels, the rejected vessels were thrown. And the price of Christ's life bought the potter's field. God is the boss. His purpose is to make fathers out of us. The process is the wheel, and the image that he is the potter, that is conforming us to, is the image of his son, Jesus Christ. Stay on the wheel, knowing that the potter not only has his eyes constantly on the clay, but his hands as well. And he's working a work that seems good to him. And that's the God School for today.